हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 11. The gopis chanted, may Hrishikesh protect your senses, and Narayana your life air. May the master of Swetadweep protect the core of your heart, and may Lord Yogeshwara protect your mind. May Lord Prishnigarbha protect your intelligence, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead your soul. While you are playing, may Govinda protect you, and while you are sleeping, may Madhava protect you. May Lord Vaikuntha protect you while you are walking, and may Lord Narayana, the husband of the goddess of fortune, protect you while you are sitting. Similarly, may Lord Yajnabhuk, the fearful enemy of all evil planets, always protect you while you enjoy life. The evil witches known as Dakinis, Yatudhanis and Kushmandas are the greatest enemies of children, and the evil spirits like Bhutas, Pretas, Pisachas, Yakshas, Rakshasas, and Vinayakas, as well as witches like Kotara, Revati, Jeshta, Putana, and Matrika, are always ready to give trouble to the body, the life air and the senses, causing loss of memory, madness, and bad dreams. Like the most experienced evil stars, they create great disturbances, especially for children. But one can vanquish them simply by uttering Lord Vishnu's name. For when Lord Vishnu's name resounds, all of them become afraid and go away. 24-29. Srila Prabhupada comments.
It means that Putana was a known witch?
Maybe she's a kind of witch. Mm-hmm. You know, because she's from that, so they call her...
So that's not her name.
No. I mean, it would be her name. You know, it's not necessarily that they would, but it's from that. It appears she's from that group. While decorating the body with tilak, we give protection to the body by chanting 12 names of Vishnu. Although Govinda or Lord Vishnu is one, he has different names and forms with which to act differently. But if one cannot remember all of the names at one time, one may simply chant Lord Vishnu, Lord Vishnu, Lord Vishnu. And always think of Lord Vishnu. Vishnur Aradhanam Param. This is the highest form of worship. One remembers Vishnu always, even though one is disturbed by many bad elements. One can be protected without a doubt. The Ayurveda Shastra recommends Aushadi Chintayet Vishnum. Even while taking medicine, one should remember Vishnu, because the medicine is not all in all, and Lord Vishnu is the real protector. Right? So, when the medicine that Ayurveda, then when you make the medicine, then you're chanting Vishnu mantra, right? Then when the doctor gives it to you, he chants, and when you take it, accept it, and take it, you chant. Then it's said to have its full potency, because it should be that when it touches the tongue, that's when it actually acts and gets rid of the disease. You know, because the energy from any food in that is while it's on the tongue. It goes into the body through the tongue. Maintenance of the body, you know, the gross kind of aspect, that goes which goes into your stomach. But actually the energy that you get is what's up while it's on the tongue. That's why you see some people, they eat so much, huge amount, because they say they're otherwise they don't get any energy. But if you notice, generally those people don't chew. Right? Well, if they chewed, then they could eat so much less and get energy. Yeah. So the whole point is that the medicine or whatever you're doing, it's not complete in itself. It's Vishnu who makes it function. He's the potency in the medicine. Right? He's the potency in the protection. So by remembering Krishna, then that's when it acts. Right? Not that the medicine itself mechanically is what's getting rid of the disease. Does that make sense? That's generally how it's thought of in the modern things. Everything's seen mechanistically. But actually the mechanistic is not the energy of anything. It's how it functions. Like if I mathematically take how something goes on, then that will show just the mechanistic aspect of it, but it doesn't show why I'm doing it or the mood or the attitude or the purpose or any of that stuff. Does that make sense? You know, somebody walks into the room and sits down. So then I take that, analyze that, get all the different angles of their feet, how it goes, how many steps they took, what was the pressure of their steps, what was the different angles between the thigh and their knee and their foot and their toes, and got into all that kind of stuff and presented this whole thing. Would I explain why the person walked into the room, what was their mood, what they were thinking about, why they came in the room, why they chose to sit down? It will never explain that. It can't. All it's showing is the mechanistic aspect, right? That's modern science. It can't tell why anything's going on. They'll speculate, of course, through their false ego. Because no one wants to think, no, I don't know everything. They don't want to think, I'm just part of the thing. You know what I mean? How do you say? A physicist would die of, you know, shock and horror if he thought he's actually the lowest of the scientific systems. And it's just the backup for the other real systems like the metaphysical and the spiritual. Does that make sense? Like that. Because as it is, they think they're the highest. You know? So that's the point is that Vishnu is the one that is actually the working principle because it's because of his desire.
Maharaj, you mentioned that modern science cannot determine why someone has common business, like how he's walking like that.
Yeah.
But Jyotish, you can see by the different symptoms, omens and like that, like a good astrologer can tell why a person is here just by when he's entering.
No, he can tell you the situation and all that, but he's not actually telling what you're going to do with your free will.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he can only make recommendations.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
But, as we said, it's a higher science.
Yeah.
But it's still not this science. The Bhagavatam gives the highest science. Because unless that mechanical aspect of the situation, then the metaphysical and all those things, but then unless it's the devotional, it doesn't have a completeness. Because even there, again, shock and horror, if you tell an astrologer, actually, he can't tell everything. They actually sincerely believe they can tell you everything. Just like the physicist. That's the problem. Any of these mechanical things, they always think they know the much because it's in the element of Jnana. Right? So the Jnana Shakti, it's the lowest of the three. You have Icha, Kriya, and Jnana. But it's considered kind of, in one sense, the senior as far as like in dealings. But in actuality of the purpose, it's the lowest. Means it supports Kriya. In other words, I can do an activity if I have knowledge. So if I have knowledge and don't use it, what's the point? Like if I have money and never spend money, then is it actually like I have money? Right? According to Shastra, the miser is as good as a poor man. Because the poor man doesn't have money to spend, and the miser, though he has money, won't spend it. So they're both in the same position. You understand? So jnana is only useful when it comes to kriya. And kriya, its purpose, it gets you results. But the point is the results didn't come because of the jnana. It could become of applying it in kriya. And they'll think, no, because I did this. You know, it's just like, okay, I gave money, let's say, to the university, right? And they're able, and then from that, so many nice graduates come. Right? So now I will take the step to say, I am the one that's educating all these students because of me. If it's not for my money, nothing can go on. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. They extend their position way too far because they could take all the money they want and nothing would happen unless there were teachers there doing it. So the teachers do it. So they're supporting the teachers who actually do the teaching. But don't think, no, I'm doing this. You understand? Because that's the point, is that the mechanical point or the economic point. All this pranamoya, anamoya, they think they're doing everything. They don't even realize dharma is there. Let alone mukti and bhakti. That's beyond. There's no question. You understand? So that's the weakness in all these aparavidyas, is they actually feel, because of this, I can tell everything. So the Vedic, you can tell a lot more, because it's connected with all of them. But unless you see it in connection with bhakti, you're actually very limited. But due to false ego, they're so convinced. They're so convinced. You know, this idea that Krishna, karma, and it may be different, it may not work out like that. No, absolutely not. As it is here, that's how it's going to happen. And I've watched best astrologers tell people what's going to happen. And because of Krishna karma, it doesn't. They say, you're going to get really sick this month and this and that, this planet, and they don't. Maybe they sneeze once or something. Because of Krishna karma. Because Krishna is in control. So that's the point being made here. Is that even though there's all those things, even while taking medicine, one should remember Vishnu, because the medicine is not all in all, and Vishnu is real protective. The medicine is there because that's Krishna's directive, not our directive. We're thinking, no, I did the medicine. But why is there even a concept of medicine? Every culture has a concept of medicine. Why do the plants have the potency? Did the scientists create the plant? Yes or no?
No.
So that's the whole thing. They figure out, oh, this does this. But the point is it was already made like that. Right? You know, that's like somebody makes a machine and it's sitting there, and another person comes along, and by looking at it, playing, pushing, poking, and that, eventually they figure out a few things it can do. Then they'll see, I'm the scientist, I worked out everything, this is my machine, and then the guy from the next room walks in, picks it up, and walks off with it. It's kind of like, what? You know what I'm saying? That's the whole thing, is that due to false ego, they're thinking, because I'm using my intelligence, but the point is the intelligence itself, how mathematics works and all these different things, they're only becoming aware of what's already there. But because they become aware, now they think it's theirs. Does that make sense? But that's not how you work. That's not how it works. It's part of the process. But as long as we take it as a complete process, it doesn't... Because you can have the jnana with no kriya. You get a lot of intelligent people know so much and do nothing in that field. They talk about the field, they're the worst world expert in the field, but they themselves cannot apply it. Don't even think about applying, it's not even important to them. Right? Then there's those who practically get things done. Right? That's the next step. But what's the purpose, what's the reason you get things done? That's actually the actual reason, because that includes the other two. Right? You want to eat. Okay? So that includes the process of cooking, the process of making all the arrangements, the economic, everything like that. But it'll be said, no, it's because of the economics, therefore you can eat. See, that's ignorance, is that the process is turned around. So even though in the past times, you see, Krishna's the youngest, then Balaram's older than him, and Vasudev, or Mahanarayan is considered senior to them. You know, it's just like Lord Chaitanya's there, but Nityananda Prabhu is a year or something older, and just like his elder brother, what was his elder? Vishwaroop, he was also older, right? And then there's Advaitacharya, who's the oldest and senior most of all the Brahmins, most respectable and all that. So from that aspect, yes. From that, just that knowledge aspect, yes. But then in getting things done, it's Nityananda Prabhu who controls all the things. And then why is that being controlled? To please Lord Chaitanya, who's actually the source of the whole point. Does that make sense? So, yes, the Aparavidya will show more because it's more consistent with these three. Right? Its purpose is taking care of the Lord's desire. And then how to apply it, and then the path of knowledge. But unless you see it this way, you won't get that benefit. Is that anything? Yeah. So that's the whole thing. Because if we have a disease, it's because we're impure. Right? So by remembering the Lord, you get purified. And because He's the one, He is the action of the medicine, by remembering Him, then the medicine works nicely. So if you don't, then if your karma is there, you've pleased Him in your mechanistic way, then how much mechanistically you've done properly, that much mechanistic result you'll get. Yes, because you can't get more than what you pay for. That's it's cheating. This idea is I'll do nothing and get everything. It's like, you know, the mode of ignorance is perfection of their dream.
Some of the Ayurvedic doctors, they are a deity of Dhanvantri, and they offer the medicine to Dhanvantri.
Yes.
And they need to give it to the patient.
So yes.
Their understanding is that the medicine becomes living only after offering to Dhanvantri.
Yes. Because that's the process, that they're supposed to chant the mantra while they're doing, it's offered, and then they chant mantra while they give it. So whether they're chanting mantra before and after, and whether the patients are chanting, but at least they're getting, you know, one out of four parts. You know, so it will have more effect than those who don't. Okay? Does that make sense? Yeah. But that's the method. Yeah, because they always talk about that. What's alive, what's dead, what's things like that. It's just part of it, the process. Okay. The material world is full of danger. Padam padam yadvi padam. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.58. Therefore one must become a Vaishnava and think of Vishnu constantly. This is made easier by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended Kirtaniya Sadaharihi, Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 1731. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam, and Kirtanad Eva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Vijay. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, all the gopis headed by Mother Jashoda were bound by maternal affection. After they thus chanted mantras to protect the child, Mother Jashoda gave the child the nipple of her breast to suck and then got him to lie down on his bed. Srila Prabhupada comments, when a baby drinks milk from the breast of his mother, this is a good sign of health. So the elderly gopis were not satisfied with chanting mantras to give protection to Krishna. They also tested whether their child's health was in order. When the child sucked the breast, this confirmed that he was healthy. And when the gopis were fully satisfied, they had the child lie down on his bed. And so after all this and that, and so much activity, right, then taking care, then eating, then they take rest. Right? That's all it says. Complete. Verses 31 to 44. The coward men dispose of Putana's spiritualized body.
Right before, regarding the thing that we were discussing, Krishna karma and how people react to this.
Yes.
Sometimes devotees say that if we ask the Lord for material stuff, He might fulfill it, and in this way, it might interrupt Krishna karma that we were supposed to get from Him as a mercy, because we push Him to fulfill our material desires as such. Well, not push, but inspire.
It just means the Lord may have one plan how He'd like it to go, but because we have our desires and they adjust, that we're interrupting Krishna karma, that we have the power, we have the thing, we are the, you know, so they have to be a little careful on how far you think. If it's being made, the point is that you have your desires, so if you're just surrendered to Krishna, it'll go in one way, and if you have desires, it may adjust. If that's the instruction, so that you don't, distract yourself from the process, but that's just what it mentions. One gets distracted. So the material desires, they distract one. Yes. But I wouldn't get into that, you know, mechanically we're controlling the...
No, it was the point.
Yeah, so if it's from the point that Krishna has a plan unfolding, we can take part in it, or we can take part in whatever we want. But the point is the Lord's plan is taking part. We can take part. If we do, we get to do that. If we don't, someone else will do it. You know? And depending, Krishna may leave it for some time, that in case you take it up. You know? But if you don't, then at some point, you know, Krishna will put someone else there. You know, it's just like Krishna was supposed to study in Navadvip from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. But because of bad association, then he took up the impersonal philosophy and went to Puri. So then he studied from Vidyavachaspati instead. Like that. So only when he went to Puri, then he found him, and then he brought him back to proper consciousness, and then he got that association. You understand? So you can take... The point is the mission's going on. It's not that we change the mission. It's just the mission's going on. We can take part or not. And so things may go quicker or slower, or this or that. It's up to whatever Krishna likes. Is that clear? Srikala Sukadeva Goswami continued. Meanwhile, all the cowherd men, headed by Nanda Maharaj, returned from Mathura. Now when they saw on the way the gigantic body of Putana lying dead, they were struck with great wonder. Footnote 5. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 31 to Bhagavad Arkamichimala, chapter 19, called The Perfection of the Mellow of Pure Love, The Unlimited Dimensions of Rasa, Siddha Prema Rasa, Rasa Garima, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur book, again regarding the pair bewilderment of pure devotees. Just that due to their attachment to Krishna, their affection for Krishna, they get seemingly bewildered by all these different things that are, you know, we could look at them very scientifically and say, well, it's this. But the point is that affection is beyond this science. It has its own science. Right? So that's what's being discussed here in Sambandha Abhideyam Prayojan. That's the top science when it's applied within the devotion to the Lord. And these others are just mechanical aspects below that. Is that something? The cowherd men were astonished. Perhaps by mistake, a mountain with unclipped wings fell from the sky and crushed all the huge trees. Perhaps under the spell of some witch we have come to the wrong place. Perhaps this is just a magical illusion. In this way many doubts arose in their minds, right? Because mountains would fly around. And then Indra came and clipped their wings, right? So they wouldn't fly. Because otherwise they'd be sitting in their place. And they decide to fly and fly off, and especially whatever's on the mountain then goes flying with it, right? And then there's a big, you know, empty place where it was, and then wherever it decides to land, that doesn't, because it appears they're not so conscious, you know, I mean, conscious of where they are. So like a bull in a china shop, are they worried that, oh, this is very, you know, high-grade Naritaki, you know, China here? No, they don't care. You know, they see they want to move over there, they just go through everything. So the mountain will go and then land on villages or towns or anything. So then Indra cut off all the wings. Otherwise, they would fly, and then when it comes to the point when they die, then they just fall, you know, down, and that would be it. And that then it's a dead mountain. But otherwise, now there's dead mountains, and there's also live ones that have their wings cut off. Right? 7 cents. Yeah. And so they're thinking, well, maybe this is a mountain with unclipped wings fell from the sky. Right? So maybe it died and then fell down here. Or, some magic spell or something, so we come to the wrong place, and this isn't Vrindavan. It's just, you know, this is the, how you say it? Large dead witch depot. Right, you know. But they didn't see the signs, so. Right. Yeah. And so, yeah. Like that, or some magical illusion, like that. And so they're yeah. So this is all because of their attachment to Krishna. They just see things in that way. They don't try to analyze scientifically, other than in, you know, Vedic version. Mm-hmm. But they're not trying to analyze in such a way to come up with some mundane explanation. Mm-hmm. That's not what's important to them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So those who try to do that, it would be their jnana-mistra.
Yes, it would be jnana mistra. But once they become purified, it's not that they can't engage it in the Lord's service, but then you engage it by explaining Krishna consciousness. Like that. But otherwise, on this platform of affection for Krishna, then they're beyond, they're already liberated. So they're beyond the platform of jnana. Jnana only has use up to liberation. Beyond liberation, it doesn't have any use. It's whatever we're using. So this idea is, no, I'll understand everything. No, you won't.
So actually, unless we get the real taste,
yes,
from the level of Muchi or whatever,
yes,
we are still into a little bit of material jnana.
We can be. We can be. Otherwise, it's there as a fragrance, though technically it's not, because one has the spiritual form and all that. But we have to remember it's from that same spiritual position that we got attracted to the material world and then fell down. Like that. So that neutral state, until Purva Rag, until that full attachment to Krishna, where then one is qualified to then take part directly in the pastimes, that's where you could say it becomes positive. Just like, let's say, in the Madhyama platform, Nishta, you're steady, but you can still be a little bit distracted. But once you get a taste, Ruchi, then that starts to go. And then when that becomes Asakti, then you could say is now one's not really interested in the material anymore. But that's on the Madhyama platform. So that would be the three stages, you could say, of Kanista Madhyam Uttama within the Madhyam platform. Right? And so within the Bhava platform, that Uttama platform, then you're going to have the same thing. Is that up to that point, that will be your Kanista platform of Bhava Bhakti. Then when you get to, what do you call it? Apandasa, that would be like your Madhyama platform. You're involved in the pastime. But then only when you come to inheritance, when you come to Vastu Siddhi, right? Then you come to Prema. Then you can say, now that's Uttama of Uttama. Right? Because from that platform, you can't fall down. You won't fall down. There's just no interest. What's to fall down to? You know, it's just like the mom's there in the kitchen cooking nice things. She looks out the window into the backyard like that. Sorry for the archaic, example. And the kids are out playing in the nice big lawn out there. You know, the girls are out there cooking, right? So they pick leaves and some grass and a few rocks, and they're out there cooking and all that. So the mother is like thinking she really wants to, you know, that looks good. So she knows they'll play and all that, and when she's finished cooking, she'll call them in and they'll leave. Yeah. So that's the whole thing. You get to the platform of prema. What material thing on any level could be attractive at all? Right? That's the whole thing. There's nothing there. You're dealing with eternal. So something that's temporary, like the senses, is going to be attractive. Yeah. So that's the whole point. Is that okay?
Yes.
Nandamaraj and the other gopas explained, "My dear friends, you must know that Anika Dundabi, Vasudev, has become a great saint or a master of mystic power. Otherwise, how could he have foreseen this calamity and predicted it to us?" Srila Prabhupada comments, "This verse illustrates the difference between Kshatri as." Between Kshatriyas and innocent Vaishyas. By studying the political situation, Vasudeva could see what would happen, whereas Nandamaraj, the king of the agriculturists, could only guess that Vasudeva was a great saintly person who had developed mystic powers. So he knew the political situation, what was going on, and so it's going. So therefore, because they're going out to the villages, then Braj would be one of the villages, you know, just because it's in the area of Mathura Mandala. So it's not like it's, you know, they were talking about some village in Manipur or something. right? You know, like that, that maybe they'll get to, maybe they won't. Yeah. Vasudeva actually had all mystic powers under his control. Otherwise, he could not have become the father of Krishna. But in fact, he foresaw the calamities in Braja by studying Kamsa's political activities and thus warned Nanda Maharaj to take precautions, although Nanda Maharaj thought that Vasudeva predicted this incident through wonderful mystic powers. By mystic powers gained through the practice of Hatha Yoga, one can study and understand the future. Right? So these devotees that are in connection with the Lord in this way, these pure devotees, they have all these mystic powers. Just they're not interested in them, so they don't even worry. So the Brajabasis, even though they have them, they're not even considered. Well, in Dwarka, then they would, you know, they're there, but that's not their interest. They want to see how the pastime is going, how Krishna is unfolding things by his yoga maya. So that's the thing. Because otherwise, if you just see, then what will you do? It's just an appreciation. So you see sometimes the great sages in that, they'll do that and then inform people about the situations who are actually involved. Because them and Shantaras, that's seeing, and that, you know, direct observation or seeing through the mystic path, for them it's all just the Lord's pastimes. So for them they're just absorbed. That's the Shantaras. So they can appreciate any level of it. So it doesn't matter if it's the past, the present, the future, like that. Because it's not dynamic as such. Because right? They're not going to do anything other than appreciate. So for them it may be an aspect that they use, but it's not important. But if they're there with the Lord, why would you? You just watch it unfold. Yes.
Can we say that here it mentioned that Nanda Maharaj, out of simplicity, he thought that this is a mystic power.
Right.
Can we say that devotees, when they like all that mystic stuff, it out of their simplicity too?
Yes, means that they're not understanding the science of bhakti.
So it might be
I would say instead of simplicity, because they may be dealing in a very sophisticated way, I would say immaturity. It's a difference. You know, it's just like you can have someone who's super intelligent and can do all kinds of things, but when it comes to dealings and all that, they're actually very immature.
Is that what I'm saying? So you wouldn't call them innocent.
It depends upon what's their purpose of it. If it's just that they have intellectual power like this and then they use it like that, but then they're just, you know, nice how it's unfolding and how things are happening and they're impressed by that, you can say that's innocent. If there's that pride to it, as soon as pride's there, there's no innocence anymore. You know what I'm saying? As soon as you see what I can gain from this, that's when innocence goes. That's what the children, they're just going, and just as things happen, they're dealing. But then when they hit the teen years, or hit youth, where then they think, I can enjoy this, and that ego is there, that's when innocence stops. But if there's proper training, it can continue. Does that make sense? So that's the idea of the Vedic culture, is that continues. Right, the boys and girls don't get involved in all these things, so they just go on performing their duties and developing and all that, so that innocence remains. Like that. I think it was the Prabhupada's Ayurvedic doctor, the last doctor who took care of. But, you know, so he was telling us once that when he first got married, like that, because of the training, because they were Sri Vaishnavas and all that, and much more strict. Because he wore both the red and the white tilak. You can tell they're old when they don't curl up. These young ones will always curl up. The big ones, they know nothing eats them, so they're not worried. That's kind of your way. They don't see so good. So Yes, yeah, so you know, from a good family, good traditional Vaidyas that they had been, Brahmins that had been Vaidyas for probably generations and all that. So it was arranged. He married a nice Brahmin girl and all that, and then they just hung out. They were like best friends. They'd do everything together, run around, talk this and that. His father had to put all over him, your husband and wife. Oh. Yeah, so. And he just thought it was a great arrangement, someone to hang out with all day, So, like that. Then you have that aspect. So that purity in the Vedic culture is there. And that's the idea, is that the longer that can be kept, the better. And that's the attractive feature. Okay. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. The inhabitants of Braja cut the gigantic body of Putana into pieces with the help of axes. Then they threw the pieces far away, covered them with wood, and burnt them to ashes. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. At the order of Upananda and others, lower-ranked men, Vrajao Kasha burned up the body completely for fear that it would come to life again. The influence of poisonous creatures is extinguished when their bodies are burnt up. Right? Because snakes, even though you kill them and seemingly kill them or even cut them in half, because of the influence of the life airs, they can actually come back together and continue living. They're freaky because they're so attached. Right? That's why there's so much poison. Right? They're so attached. They just don't give up. their heads over here, bodies over there. They don't care. So it's only when you burn them, then. And also then you kill like the cobras and that, then whoever was the one that killed them, then in their retinas you can see them. So that's where the other snake, the mate, they come. And then they look into their eyes and then see who it was, and then they go after them. And they'll spend their whole life looking for you. Like that. They're serious. So that's why when you kill a snake, it means the poison, you burn it. Just how it works. So in the same way, they're just thinking, a big witch and this and that, then better to burn it. Then they won't create any trouble. Otherwise it might come to life again. And, you don't want something 12 miles long, running amok in your village. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, because of Krishna's having sucked the breast of the Rakshasi Putana, when Krishna killed her, she was immediately freed of all material contamination. Her sinful reactions automatically vanished. And therefore, when her gigantic body was being burnt, the smoke emanating from her body was fragrant like aguru incense. Right, because that's considered like one of the, for burning and that, the smoke is considered the best. Okay. Yeah, it means, yeah. Srila Prabhupada comments, such are the effects of Krishna consciousness. If one somehow or other becomes Krishna conscious by applying his senses in the service of the Lord, one is immediately freed from material contamination. Srinvatam swakata Krishna punyashravana kirtanaha. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.17. Hearing about the activities of Krishna is the beginning of purified life. Punya Shravana Kirtana. Simply by hearing and chanting, right? So that's, one becomes purified. So that's the most pious activities, to hear and chant about Krishna. Therefore, in discharging devotional service, Shravanam Kirtanam, hearing and chanting, is most important. Then, with purified senses, one begins to render service to the Lord. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila 1970. Bhakti Uchate. This is called bhakti. Right? So you have this aspect of the senses. So in the modern thing, you want to be healthy in this. When Prabhupada talks about health is important, or health first, that doesn't mean health at the exclusion of spiritual life. The point is that you're going to perform a devotional activity. Well, it's that. Oh, that's a different one. Oh, the same one. Right, it's smaller. Maybe it's so far away. So that you're going to perform your activity. You can chant, you can go to Mangalartik, you can dance, you can play musical instruments, you can cook, you can do whatever you're doing because the senses are healthy. Right? So that's the whole point of the health. Not that one totally gets into health and by being healthy, that's the perfection. Right? So you see individuals who get distracted by health, then they, one, they're not even healthy, and two, devotionally, they're not healthy. So it just doesn't work either way. Right? Because if you're in anxiety, you can't be healthy. And they're always in anxiety about being healthy. Oh, you can't eat that. You can't, you know, oh, here, have some of this. Oh, what's in it? Does it have this in it? Does it have, oh, no, I can't eat it. Like that. Yeah, how can you be healthy? Right? So, therefore then the health is as a support. It's simply a situation. Right? So just like you have proper knowledge, you have proper health, right? These are situational that then are engaged in Krishna's service to please Krishna. Right? So they're on the lowest level. So that's why then in training you are engaged in activities that are appropriate, that maintain health and develop health. At the same time, you're trained in knowledge and how to apply it. Right? So that you have the basis for then engaging in Krishna's service. So you're engaged in Krishna's service in the training, but it's so that you're trained to know how to do that. Does that make sense? There's all these different activities, like here, just by hearing about the Lord's pastimes and all that, then it balances the ether in the body. It keeps the senses proper. The ears are actually made the purified and are therefore of better quality. But it's not then, now I have better ears, now I go out and listen to nonsense. No, it's for the purpose of devotional service. Does that make sense? You know, so in the opposite, then my, let's say, listening to metal or something, then that's where the ears, in the sense of hearing and ether in the body, everything gets distracted and disturbed. Does that make sense? Everything has a purpose. So that's the thing, is that all these activities in devotional service, we'll just take them, oh, they're that, but actually everything that we do all has something that it has an effect on the health. So all the activities you do from getting up in the morning, you know, in the Brahma Muhurta, taking bath, brushing the teeth, coming to Mangal Arati, singing Mangal Arati, chanting, you know, the sunrise, the yajnas, you know, then the darshan, then the classes, the charinamrita, all these things, and prasad, associating with devotees, all these also have effects in purifying the senses. So we're thinking, oh, well, that's just the devotional, and then I got to, you know, take care of my health separately from that. So, yeah, I can't always come to all those, you know, because the only time I can actually go to the gym is then, you know, in the morning before I go to work, and this and that. And so, and then you're doing those things, maybe the muscles and all that, yes, you get the bile moving and maybe there's some appetite. In one sense, yes, you do, it helps a little bit, but at the same time, you're not associating with Vaishnavas and that, you're associating with all these other people who are totally on the material platform. Unless the whole gym's devotees, and then they're just partially on the material platform. But otherwise, that they're, and they're just, and why do they want to look good and everything like that? Because they need to look good, you know, at work, or because, you know, it's just great for when you sit at home and read a book and hang out with the family, right? Yes. So that's the whole point. So then one's contaminating the senses. One may be working on health on one side, but it's contaminating another. And as soon as you stop that work, you see that they really fall apart. You know, all these real heavy gym wallets, when they stop, then it goes really strange. You know, oh, like that. But you see, let's say those who are used to a life of sadhana, you see them when they're 70, 80 years old, they're still in good shape, they're energetic, move around. They're of course more careful. They don't have the energy they had when they were younger. But they're still very, why? Because they've been engaging their senses in purificatory activities. That's the problem. We think it's just that mechanical. So the Vedic mechanical is dealing with sadhana and devotional activities recommended in Shastra, they purify all the senses. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. That's what's actually going on. And so this is not connected. It's not seen in the scientific way. So we talk science, But it's the science of ignorance. Ignorant men have observed something, we call that science. Yes, it has a mechanical aspect. It does fit into the category, just like, let us say, the animal in the forest goes, finds a dead tree, then, you know, pulls the top off the tree, there's all kinds of witchetty grubs inside, and they start lunch. So, would we call that food? No. But technically it fits in the category of food, because that's food for that living entity. Does that make sense? But it's not actually. So, we can say is this is science and this is health. But actually it's not. It is on a lower level. But actually on the human level, it has to include all these other aspects. Right? So, following all those, like the Kshatriyas, even they're on the battlefield of Kshetra. When do they get up? You know, is it like, you know, like Achilles, they have to go in there and wake him up when the enemy is already standing at the gate of the tent, right? And then, hey, you know, like that, you know. No, they're up early in the Brahma Muhurta, taking their bath, doing their yajnas, giving in charity, you know, doing all these auspicious things like that, because only with purified senses, then they can be engaged in their activity. Otherwise, how do you deal with on the battlefield with astras that are mantras you're chanting in your mind? They have to be chanted exactly, and they have to be chanted quickly. You know, it's not like, you know, we do, you know, do achmat, om keshavayan amaha, and sit, okay, good. You know, not like that. It's got to be at the speed of mind. Right? Otherwise, then, yeah, the guy will come along and just hit you over the head with a rock or something. Right? So that's the whole point, is that pure, that Vedic culture is based, it is about, we say, oh, the Western culture, it's about sense gratification, it's about animal stuff. Really, really not very developed. You know, the sophisticated thing is this, oh, the variety of alcohol, you know, the different, you know, different, what it's made from, what did you rot, you know, vegetables or grains or, you know, how you say, sugar cane or fruits or, you know, whatever it is, or wine, you know, that was a popular one in your area, you know, so then, you know, like that, and then the quality of it, and then what you did with it, and then, you know, the refinement of it, what you, you know, it's like that, or with their coffee, or with their tobacco, and all these different things. They have these things, they're very, a few others, then they apply, okay, the fragrances, and this and that. But then the point is they're not in that really high quality. It means they're high quality on one level. But the good stuff that, you know, is that it goes so much more. I remember seeing, can't remember where it was, in Dubai. You know, and there's all the fragrances that we know of, the really high-end kind of stuff. You know, it's like, let's say, you know, a 100 ml bottle is, you know, 150 euros or stuff like that. Or, you know, we would say that's the high-end stuff. Then we were talking about it, and someone said, no, that's good stuff. And then they pointed out other stuff. $300, $900 for the same amount or less that we don't even know about, because, you know, we're going to pay, we're already freaking out at 150 euros, right? Let alone, you know, 1,000 euros. And that was maybe like 5 years ago, so God only knows what it costs now. Does that make sense? You know, so that's the thing, is that there's so many subtle things that you can't tell. So that's there, and they have that, but they only have that not from what they're doing, from their previous time practicing the Vedic culture. Their senses will get to that refinement. Does that make sense? So that's one of the things. Someone who has that very good sense of smell, they can really tell the difference in fine things and everything like that, then that quality, that's called Gandharva. One of the qualities, like, so these different aspects you may get, but the point is it's the practice of the Vedic culture, the standard things that are there in the Vedic culture that are there, and that's always done. You could say, oh, but we chant and all. Yes, if you're like the Goswamis, that you're always chanting, always absorbed in Krishna, like that, then you're beyond that. You don't require purified material senses to be engaged. You're already engaged on the transcendental platform. But if we're conditioned, then we're dependent on the senses to work properly so that we can be Krishna conscious. But that doesn't mean the health is taken beyond its usefulness in Krishna consciousness. In other words, if you're putting so much into the health and that you're spending some time to maintain it, that's fine. But are you also spending, you know, quality time in Krishna conscious activities, the application of that? And if not, then what's the point? So that's the difficulty. It's the Vedic, it's already included. We don't even know the science. Right? All the space in the body, right? You know, whatever space, the lung, this and that, is all kept in proper shape by hearing about Krishna. Right? Would you ever think that that's going to add to, health in the lungs or anything else? No, you'd never think of that in a million years in the modern. But that's in the Vedic thing. Is that a sense? Yes.
Now, can we say that the Vedic science is about relationship?
It's about relationship. And then in relationship, you're going to interact, right? Because relationship means there's some dynamic aspect. And so then that potential for that, then that you act, get results, and that's experienced in the relationship. Now, that means then you have to have knowledge and senses that can therefore be engaged. Because if I do an activity, that's a combination of the senses acting and the knowledge. So that means in Sambandha, the knowledge and the senses. So in the Vedic educational system, then these two are the main. Right? But when you talk about health, it's not by the modern concept. Is by the Vedic and what actually does engage and purify the senses. So that's the thing. The activities that the senses are supposed to be used for are the very activities that purify. It's so it maintains. It's sustainable. Right? So if I do something that I grow a crop, and then the seeds from that crop I can grow the next crop. So how do I get the seeds for the next crop? By growing the previous crop. So it's activity that maintains it. Then I have the seeds. Right? Now it goes back to Sambandha. Now that from that Sambandha, now I can plant those seeds. Right? And I'll get more seeds. Then go back to Sambandha. So it's not necessarily understood that Prayojana, things from there, the elements of that, the results you get go back. The experience stays in Prayojana. But the results of the endeavor you make go back to Sambandha, go back to Vijumna. Does that make sense? So that's how it works. Sometimes devotees get really confused with that. How does that go back? But the point is the results. I work hard, I get a house. Let's say we get a temple for Krishna, right? So the goal is to get the temple. But once you have the temple, it's not a goal anymore. It moves back to Prajumna. Now you have something to engage in the Lord's service. It's an environment in which you can engage. Then, by engaging it, then you get the results from that that go back. Now you have more. But the experience, the Krishna conscious experience, results you've gained from that, that remains there. Okay. So that's the thing. It's about relationship and about what remains in the relationship. Right? So, That's the whole point, the experience of the relationship. So, therefore, to have a relationship, you have to have knowledge and the senses have to be working. Then you apply the senses with that knowledge, then you get results that are then experienced. Does that make sense?
You can say the happiness is the experience.
Yes, the happiness is in the experience. Now, the difference is now, We've speculated what the experience will make us happy, or we're going by what the Shastra says will make Krishna happy. That's the thing. So we can, it means in the beginning we may engage our speculation. Mm-hmm. We say this particular activity makes me happy, mm-hmm. therefore I connect it to the Lord. But it's connection to the Lord that's important. Like when it says in the 64 items of devotional service, offering, you're offering an activity or a an item that what is that you especially like, right? So the point of that is its connection to Krishna. That you're engaging, connecting everything to Krishna. It's not the focus. We would take it that, oh, I like, you know, enchiladas, so therefore we have to offer them to Krishna. You know, and then from this, then it gets to whatever I like, then that must be what Krishna likes, so therefore in the spiritual world, you know, they all wear Ralph Lauren and eat pizza. Right? You know, so like that. Is that the problem is that we've missed the point. It's the connection to Krishna is what that rule is trying to do. So seeing it connected to Krishna, you know, seeing that Krishna is everything, Krishna is what I attracted to in that item. So it's not the item itself. You know, it's Krishna's working principle and offering it, therefore seeing it connected to Him. So that verse is basically saying that whatever you see is important in your life, see it always in connection with Krishna. That's what you're trying to do. So this idea is, no, whatever I like, then that is Krishna consciousness. That's actually the opposite of what... You'll get some benefit because you're connecting to Krishna. But because you think it's about yourself, not Krishna, and it's your satisfaction, not Krishna, it's not going to get out of the neophyte stage. Right? And so because it remains a neophyte, it runs the risk of being distracted. You know, that your devotional service won't be steady. Does that make sense? So therefore, it's about what is nice about anything you like, that's actually Krishna. That's what you're trying to see. So Krishna's more important. Therefore, if I do things that Krishna likes, I'll be satisfied also. Right? Does that make sense? Because of the feminine nature to serve. Right? So the jiva, being fat, they have the nature to serve. Right? So it's just a matter of that service is being done to please the other person or being done to please yourself. Service will happen. Right? Prabhupada points out, the living entity must serve. Like even they, you know, say, I'll serve no one. You serve the senses. You know? Or Prabhupada used the example of people serving their dog. They have to take him for a walk, because otherwise they wouldn't go for a walk. Right? So they're serving their dog. You know, they have to open the can of dog food. They have to do so many things for the dog. So they're serving. But the idea is, why do they have the dog? It's for their own pleasure. But serving will go on. So the jiva will serve. It's just a matter of, is it to please Krishna or ourselves? So that's why you have to be able to switch. Is that the real reason that we're offering anything in that? Because it's actually, that's seen in connection to Krishna. It's Krishna that's important in it. So therefore, if it's Krishna that's important, then Krishna as a person is important. Because if I just connect it to Krishna, I'm seeing the mechanics of it and all that. That's Brahman or Paramatma, if it's duties. Right? You know, but if it's just mechanics, it's just Brahman. But the whole point is then you connect it at Brahman, you get purified, then you start seeing connection to your duties. But then you start seeing it that this duty is here because it pleases Krishna. So to please Krishna is the actual reason that I'm trying to connect it. And so therefore, if Krishna is a person, it means if by connecting this, then I'm getting purified. And why am I? Because Krishna's the mechanics of it, and I'm seeing that, I'm recognizing that. Right? I some way have connected it to Krishna. But all those things, then if it's there, then all these mechanics are meant for Krishna's pleasure, so I should be using the mechanics that actually please Krishna. Because right? There's unlimited mechanics. So which ones you use at a particular time? You know what I'm saying? Like, let's say you're out on a walk, you know, in a nice, you know, natural place, but you get hungry. Okay? What would be the mechanical aspects of what you would want to apply in that situation for eating? A picnic, okay? And then the picnic is made up of what kind of items? Fruits, you know, anything you can kind of eat with your hands. You don't require many utensils. You don't cut elaborate arrangements. Would it be just something ordinary and bland? No, generally something a little special. You understand? So in other words, there's a mechanical science to it. But the purpose of that is to please the people. So I may have my idea of what I think mechanics go in a certain situation. So I would like to eat this. But then ultimately, then what would Krishna like to eat in a picnic situation? So then that would be there. In a sense, so that's what happens as we switch that. That's the whole idea. Does that make sense? So the point is he has unlimited energies. These unlimited energies are for very specific situations. So therefore, using the one that would please Krishna in that situation rather than the one that would please us, that's the sarva dharma paritya. Means you're following the dharma of that thing, but you're following it for your own rather than following it to please Krishna. So that's why then it doesn't end up Ralph Lauren and, you know, ordered out pizza. And so that's what happens, is that you start to see what would Krishna like. How would we do this for Krishna? And then, of course, you apply it to the specific situation you're in. But it has to be, it's about Krishna. Because so many things are there. You can say, I would do things this way. But let's say you have a good relationship. You would rather just sit there, but the other person would like to go for a walk. So what do? You go for a walk. You say, no, I'm from this house. I've always been from this house. In this house, we just sit here in the evening. We do not go for a walk. So I can't relate to these walks and all that. And since, you know, the main thing is all about what I can relate to, because that self-centeredness is the ultimate perfection of human life. Therefore, I will sit here and everybody else can go. And in fact, why are they going out? They shouldn't go out. They should just sit here, because whatever conditioning I have is the perfection, is universal, is what everybody should do. According to the Shastric, you know, evidence of Atmavan Manyate Jagat, is that therefore whatever I'm doing, that's what the rest of the universe should be doing, because the Shastra says. So would that be the correct interpretation? Would be good, yes. Yeah, unfortunately they don't agree, because they also use Atmavan Manyate Jagat. Well, no, how I see it is how the whole thing. So that's why the only universal is how Krishna sees it. But how the acharyas, because they know Krishna, how they give it to us.
Now, in order to do that, we need to have at least some appreciation and attention for Krishna.
Yes, but that's getting through the spiritual master. So then we stick, that's why it says following the orders of the spiritual master, approaching the previous acharyas through one spiritual master. So their order and these things, that's the main thing. Then we try to make it, you know, too comfortable for ourselves, then we may, like we said with the health, have overdone. Because all these things are there. You know, we started off at the point is the senses have to be purified. Therefore, in Vedic training, you're doing two things. You're giving the knowledge and you're purifying the senses. Right? As we said in the Vedic thing, the senses are purified through engagement. Right? Like you go to a gym, even in the modern, you're engaging the senses. And then that will give you health. Or going out jogging, or, you know, doing some push-ups or doing some yoga like this. So the idea is that you're engaging the senses that will, but they think it'll just create the health of the senses directly. But it's only when you purify the senses that there's good health. Right? Just like in the body. If there's too much toxins in the body, you can't be healthy. So the same way, if the senses aren't purified, how do you maintain health? Because the point of the bodily health is to engage the senses. That you just have a body and it doesn't have any senses, what would be the point? You know what I'm saying? So it's all interconnected there. So then the engagement of the senses in purifying activities is what maintains the health. Then that knowledge that it takes to engage in those purified activities, that's the knowledge that goes with it. So therefore it's all about what activity, the knowledge that's purifying, the activities that are purifying. So that's why then the mode of goodness, because it's purifying, it's illuminating. That's what we're trying to do. That's the whole Vedic approach. So you can see it's very, totally different from anything in the modern. Even you get into the fancy guys, you know, Steiner and Montessori and, you know, guys that get into trying to work out some nicer things like that. But what's working is, oh no, it's nice, the kids are studying, I think there's a German school, they do everything outside. Like that. And so, you know, the classes outside, everything, they're in nature. But it's by being in the open space, the ether, that purifies the ether, that's what's working. But they don't know it's that. They just, oh, because it's nature and it's nice and we're being natural. But the point is they've caught a Vedic, but they only have that one. And then another one will use a different one. Right? So they all have their things, what they engage, but it's not actually understood scientifically. It's not understood that senses, by being engaged in certain ways, are purified. No, it's by doing this, it's nice, and yes, and it's a different, it's actually a sentiment. This modern science is based on a sentiment. Okay. When Putana was somehow or other, directly or indirectly, induced to render some service to the Lord by feeding him with her breast, she was immediately purified. So much so that when her nasty material body was burnt to ashes, it gave off the fragrance of Agaru, the most agreeably scented herb. Right? So it's considered the best of all the different herbs. It's the basis. Like when you had incense, then it's technically, it used to be a stick of Agaru. And then all the muscles were rolled onto that. Right? And then nowadays I think it's generally bamboo. And bamboo doesn't smell good when it burns, but it's kind of neutral. But yeah, so therefore it's considered, it's the basis of, it's also one of the main ingredients in that Chatushama that Lord Chaitanya said. Sanatana Goswami had when in traveling, he had taken bath in some pukur and he'd gotten some disease. And then he had itches all over his body and then oozing sores and all that. So when he saw Lord Chaitanya, then Lord Chaitanya wanted to embrace him. He said, no, because I have all these. But when the Lord embraced them, then they all went away. But then it's asked, but what about this? It's contaminating. He says, no, because of the affection. Then he says, it's just like Chatusama. Because it's you take sandalwood as a base, because Gandha in the Vedic sense means you have sandalwood paste. Then you put different ingredients in it. So the main ingredient that will be in it will be Agaru. So it's always the... Yes? No? Just trying to say it's not. Srila Prabhupada comments. Oh, no, up here. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continues. Yeah, so we can read it back here. Comments, Prabhupada, Srila. Child, A, two, something offers mother. A, as dear, very something offered. Or, suck two breasts, there, him, offered who, and... Mothers as Krishna for affection and devotion naturally had who those of sad be too is then what? Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Putana has always hankered for the blood of human children, and with that desire she came to kill Krishna. But because she offered her breast to the Lord, she attained the greatest achievement. What then is to be said of those who had natural devotion and affection for Krishna as mothers, and who offered him their breast to suck, or offered something very dear, as a mother offers something to a child? So you're getting the thing of that just connecting it to Krishna is perfect, but if it's done in affection. So just like we're saying, that you connect it to Krishna. Whatever it is, whatever your attachment, you connect it to Krishna somehow. Because everything in the universe is coming from Krishna, is functioning because of Krishna's potency. So yes, you can connect it. But just having connected it without that element of devotion because of our attachment, then it does have the aspect of purification. But you can't say that itself is the perfection, and those who are then dealing with doing it because it pleases Krishna, then that's Indian and we don't need to do that because we're Westerners. You can't take the neophyte position and then tout it as the Uttama platform on, you know, prema bhakti. One has to understand that the Gita has given all the technical ways to connect everything. Having done that, then in 1866, is that the Sarva Dharma Paritya Ja? So then, there it says, that it's giving up that, performing the religion for the benefit you'll get because of my attachment, because of my conditioned position, and doing these things because it pleases Krishna. So if it pleases Krishna, then you'd be following the Dharma in the recommended way, rather than just how connecting by principle what I'm doing, though the detail of what I'm doing isn't actually very ideal. Does that make sense? So you can't make something unequal equal. You can't make pure devotion equal with Aropya Bhakti. Because Aropya is, I'm overlaying on it, you know, on what I want. I take Bhakti and overlay on what I'm interested in. You know, because of my material attachments. Though that you have to make adjustments. You can't do that. You can start with that, because that's how, so even Putana, by doing that, she's getting purified. So let alone that they're mentioning of those who had a natural devotion, affection for Krishna as mothers. Right? So it's out of devotion that they're offering their breast to suck. While she was doing it out of, she's going to kill this kid and suck the kid's blood. So it slightly had some material motivation due to her particular conditioning from, you know, from whatever region she was from. You know, like that. Does that make sense? So that's the point, is that it connected, yes, it does. It does have a benefit. That's why one is feeling inspired in Krishna consciousness, because you are. But now if you're functioning and doing this on this level, how much more inspiring? And how much more taste, and how much more happiness would be bringing to Krishna if it's done on pure bhakti. Therefore, at some point you have to give that up. It's only if the conditioning has this thing where it functions on this, but those are principles. Otherwise you can say whatever you want, but you know, it's just like any country has expats all over the world. To say is, no, we're from here, we can only do the local stuff. People from the local, they live everywhere else in the world, even in their own country. They'll always be in their own country, a very difference in the regions. And they live in these different regions for whatever reason, you know, social or economic or, you know, whatever it is. They're living there. And so then this whole idea is, oh, we can only do this, but they don't always only do that. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point, because you can do so many things. It's like if you take any place, people there were doing something else before they showed up. Right? Right? And so that's the whole point. You're there, and then people were doing something else. You know, it's just like, how you say, South America, they're eating rice and beans, right? In India, they eat rice and beans. The Europeans show up, and then, you know, And then they're eating rice and beans. And then, oh no, but we can't eat the Indian food. Why? Because it's rice. It's different rice and beans. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole difficulty, is that these things are going on. They claim, no, this is our place. When is it? You know. And then you have the soul. Does that make sense? So here is that devotional service is so perfect that you're connecting anything to Krishna. You get a benefit. But, as being pointed out, is that you do that to please Krishna according to how the acharyas have given it to us, the recommendations of the scriptures. Right? According to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Not according to I, me, and mine. Right? You know. So, then, how much more benefit you get. That's unlimited benefit. The other one, you're getting benefit. You're on the spiritual path. But this other one is how much more benefit is getting. So that's the whole thing. Because we remember before, I think, where was that? In where Narad Muni was talking about the different demons. Maybe it was Ritrasura, or he was talking about how even approaching the Lord in envy and anger and all these things that you get benefited. And he was just pushing that point from so many angles, because then everything can be connected. But at the very end he says, and then what about the devotees who have that pure love? How much more are they getting? So he was trying to point out is that even this basic thing is so glorious. right? It's so glorious. That's why, you know, someone comes to the temple and first starts, you know, just being a little interested or chanting or coming regularly, taking the shot or reading, and their whole lifestyle hasn't changed at all. We consider it glorious, because that's what Narad Muni said. But now if they start a philosophy, I don't have to change, I just do what I'm doing, and in fact it's better from what you guys are doing in the temple, then now we have a problem. Now it becomes a little less glorious. Because the other one, you're looking at it, comparing material life to spiritual, and the difference is, you know, is unlimited. So, therefore, someone's spiritual is so much greater. But now, if within devotional service, you're trying to say, you know, the neophyte is better than the Madhyama and Uttama platform, now we're going to bring in mixed devotional service, or Rupya Bhakti, Bhakti Misra Karma, Bhakti Jnana Misra Bhakti, Bhakti Misra Jnana, and all that kind of stuff, and just blow it out of the water, because it's improfitable. Right? So we have to understand how to take this. We're taking this, that from being a demon, total materialist, into doing something to please Krishna. Even if it was direct or indirect. Then she got so much benefit. That's how we should take it. Not, oh, hey, I can go around spearing poison on my breast and, you know, and doing this and that, and I'll get something. No, we don't do that. Anything? Yeah. Srila Prabhupada comments.
All right.
Hmm. You want to go outside now?
No.
Okay.
I didn't think about you.
No, it's just... thinking about the rain. Means like that moment there stopped, I was going to go, but now it started raining quite strong. I mean, if everybody's like this when you have to go to the bathroom, you don't care. So. Putana had no affection for Krishna. Rather, she was envious and wanted to kill him. Nonetheless, because with or without knowledge, she offered her breasts, because it's a service that the parents of Krishna do. She attained the highest achievement in life. So in other words, she followed an activity. So we see the mixture. The activity is the recommended activity, right, for parental rasa. But how you go about it, you generally don't put poison on your breast and be in trying to kill the child. Right? So that attitude, that element, that detail needs to be lost at some point, you know, so therefore, like you say.
If we have a correct knowledge, a correct activity, a correct desire, at least it's good.
At least it's good, even though we're not very mature. Why are we doing it? Because Shastra says, because the Acharyas say, they've said it pleases Krishna, so out of that faith I'm doing it. Even if I don't have so much, faith, or, you know, not, it hasn't grown that much, but I at least have that much, that will take me through, because it said, one who has that implicit faith in Guru and Krishna, all the imports of the Veda will be revealed. While this other is that there's not as much faith, because it's still more about yourself. So even though when they come up to a point, and this other person may be junior, the other person has better potential. They can get farther with their faith than the person who's maintaining material attachments. Right? Means that you have attachments. The tenth offense of the holy name isn't that you have attachments. Right? If anybody has any attachments in any way, shape, or form, this is a total offense to the holy name. So you might as well give up now and go back home. Right? Something like that? No, it says to maintain them. That means that you know their attachments and you are comfortable to maintain them. You have an attachment, you're trying to give it up, you may not have given it up, and it may be difficult to give it up, and it may even be you're not very good at, you know, the attempts in giving it up, but you're trying. That's not the ten offense. But to having it and saying, no, this is fine, this is great, in fact, it's better than, you know, I'm being more honest than the so-called, you know, serious devotees and fanatics and all that who are not acting natural, you know. You know what I'm saying? Because they're defining natural. Because natural means you wear no clothes, and when you eat, it goes from your head down to your feet. That's natural. That's what babies do. So So are they doing that? No, then it's not natural. It's been imposed upon them. So why don't they take off their clothes and go roll around in the food? Because somehow or other babies seem to absorb most of their nutrients through the skin. You know, they pick up the spoon, you hold the spoon and it's opposite from you, you pick it up, then when you move your hand towards you, the spoon turns upside down, it falls off into their lap, and then they just get a taste. They go, nice taste. Then they take some more. Yeah, this is a serious rain. Well, this is the rain that was going to come yesterday, but it didn't. You know, that storm? The two guys, they got their... this one was late. It was, you know, sorry we were in Calcutta, you know. Okay. A mother likes to offer something to her child with affection and love. There's no question of envy, right? So it's about what would please the child. So then that's what one's trying to do. Right? So that's the whole principle. So here we can make a comparative study. If Putana could attain such an exalted position in spiritual life by neglectfully, enviously making an offering to Krishna, what is to be said of Mother Jashoda and the other gopis who serve Krishna with such great affection and love, offering everything for Krishna's satisfaction, right? So she got the position. Now she has to be trained. Now she got the position as in the parental position, but she still has to be trained. Because where is she? She's on that neutral platform. Right? Now she's purified, there's some attraction, but it hasn't become that strong. Right? So now it'll have to come to that point, and then by associating with Mother Jashoda and the others, then she'll come to that platform with prema. Yeah.
So technically you can say that she is going to Gokul.
Yes, she'll go to Gokul. And when you say go back to Godhead, for all they mean, everybody goes to wherever that Gokul is. I think Vaikuntha you can go straight, because everything's so rules and regulations anyway. You can kind of like on-the-job training, but, you know, how you say. But for Krishna, then it seems to be all pastimes are always Gokul. But because the Lord has all these pastimes here, then it would appear that even those places, that there is a training, right? Because, you know, Lord Ramachandra... You know, everybody comes and they perform their pastimes here. It's a serious thing.
Yeah, but you mentioned this chapter, you mean the Vaikuntha and then to Vaikuntha. You mentioned next chapter, you mean the Vaikuntha and then to Vaikuntha.
Oh, okay. It's saying here somewhere?
Next time.
Oh, okay. So when we get to that. Okay. The gopis automatically achieved the highest perfection. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended the affection of the gopis, either in maternal affection or in conjugal love, as the highest perfection in life. Ramya kachit upasana vajravadhu vardagena ya kalpita. So in other words, that complete just doing everything just to please Krishna. Right, because friends then also will have that aspect of, hey, I got an idea, and then you do this with me, and then your friend says, oh, hey, let's do it this way, and you do it there. So it'll have that kind of, that aspect. But the parental is just about the child. Right, and then the conjugal will be the same, but even more intense. Right, so the sense of possession gets, as the sense of possession gets stronger, then it gets higher. So the mood of the gopis then is going to be the most intense out of all the residents, right? And then within gopis, then Mother Jashoda, and then the gopis, the young gopis, and then of them Srimati Radharani, right? So it just naturally goes up.
In the five rasas. Then the sense of position becoming bigger and bigger means going toward the parental and...
Yes, it means that, in other words, there's no sense of possession in Shantara. That's why it doesn't have the dynamic element. It's static. It means it has that appreciation, but there's no sense of possession. As soon as possession is there, then then servitorship comes up. Then one wants to serve. And then as that deepens, then there's friendship. Right? Because servitorship means I want to do something, I want to do something and help them that way. Friendship, I want them to, you know, do things with me. Parental, then I want to take care and do everything for them. And conjugal, then, you know, stuff. So it's just possession is greater. Does that make sense? That's why in the public forum, when you're dealing in some social public dealing, then is that aspect of shanta. Right? So the aspect of possession is not there. Right? In dealing just with different people. And then within the family, it may be there, but you restrict it. Right? Because let's say at home you do things that'll please the child, but in the airplane you don't, it's not about the kid running around and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. Right? It means that you're trying, but you have to reduce it. So it's very reduced, and that's on people will are comfortable. The mother dealing with the child, with the family, they'll understand that. But if it goes to the point where they don't respect others that are there, let's say it goes beyond the natural position of a social environment. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. And then people that you don't have that direct personal relationship with, you can't apply that sense of possession. So that's in the modern society, that's not understood. So that concept becomes applied. And then you expect, let's say, the people at work to respond the same way as you expect the family members at home. Right? At business, you want something done. How do you say it? Direct or indirect? Direct. At home, when you're dealing with, let's say, the wife or the husband, or, you know, older children, or the girls, how do you say it? Direct or indirect? Indirect. Now they expect they can say it indirect at work because they're a woman, they can do whatever they like, it's their rights, it's this and that. But it's not, it is for home, but for their, no. It's a public thing. Okay? So that's why then the men function good in the outside because they can be, you know, very direct, very easily, very easy for it because it's mechanical, it just gets the work done. Because you're trying to get the money. Now then how you're going to enjoy the money, that's what the wife's going to work out. You know? Is that anything? She's going to figure that out. Right? You're just going to get it. Is that anything? So that's the part. The mechanical is the lower aspect. So you're trying to create that aspect of... that's true. You really have to speak loud. When there's a sense of possession in doing services.
I'm talking about the material realm. Like when the elderly family members, they have a sense of possession, so they are serving the family. But in that service, they lose the relationship. So we find that possession, which implies service in the spiritual world, is completely opposite when it comes to the material.
Yes, but the mechanics are the same. Yeah, not loud enough. Basically, it was... I kind of got the idea that it was, in the sense of possession, you're dealing in the family, you're doing the activities, but in the spiritual world, then the whole thing is different because the sense of possession is about pleasing Krishna, while in the material world, the material platform, is about pleasing yourself. Is that? And the question is, you're just making a statement, or you're...
It's exactly reverses.
Mm-hmm. Means because it reverses is that it's about us, not about Krishna. See, spiritual platform means all our identity, all our endeavors, all the results is all to please Krishna. Mm-hmm. While in the material consciousness, our identity is our own, our endeavors are for ourselves to get a result for ourselves. So even if others are to enjoy, it's because I feel I'm doing that. The nice guy, he's nice with everybody because he identifies, I'm the friend of everyone. right? Suridam Sarva Bhutanam. Therefore, I'm the nice guy. I always talk nicely. You shouldn't talk because you won't keep them friends. And then they might think that I'm connected with you and I'm not their friend. And I don't want that, so I'm going to talk. You know what I'm saying? So you have the aspect is that the identity is about yourself. So even though in the material world we have the aspect of love, parents, friends will be using the form of affection that's used in the spiritual world. Right? At least in the principal aspect, maybe not detailed like that, you know. And so, but it's opposite in that it's actually to please themselves. So as long as I can please myself in dealing in a relation with someone else, then I'll feel the relation is of value. And as soon as I'm not being pleased by my endeavor within the relationship, I will think that this relationship has no purpose. So it's opposite. But the form that's being used, it's a reflection. You can say it's reversed, but it's not, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't have the same quality, but it's the same form. Does that make sense? That's why what you say is that whatever they're doing in the spiritual world, you can use that here. That would be nice. You know what I'm saying? So, that's the whole thing, is you can use that here. That's what's being recommended. So we're saying, Putana is just connecting something on the material platform in her own way, how she likes it, and she's getting benefit. Because it's connected to Krishna. That's the perfection of human life, is it connected to Krishna. Now, when we're talking about beyond perfection is prema. And so therefore, why wouldn't you want to use the form how they would use it? In other words, she wants to feed Krishna, get rid of lose the poison. You know, and just stick to that really beautiful form and not take on that really wild-looking form that when she went outside. Okay. Does that make sense? So, that aspect then is what's being offered. Is that as much as possible and is recommended, the acharyas have given us a lifestyle, activities, understanding, everything, what they do in the spiritual world, and then brought it into the context of the present situation. And then if we don't realize that, we do whatever we can, we just see some kind of the principle, and so we do what we do, as the devotees offer what they cook, I offer what I cook, then it works very nicely. But if you start thinking that, no, the details of what I do are actually better than what they do in the spiritual world and what's recommended, then we're talking about that's not favorable for devotional service, because people who could take up having more surrender to Krishna won't, and they'll think that they're empowered and authorized, and in fact it's their right to not surrender. And so then you just mess up the lives of the innocent. Means those who, you know, have these, their own self-attachment, okay, it messes up their lives, fine. But when you mess up the lives of innocent people, that doesn't go unnoticed. So then we'll start to see, as we think it's yoga maya working, but mahamaya will start to work. They'll cover us. You know, because we won't get past that point, but we've got ego, I'll think, no, I'm getting past that point. So these are very, very subtle points that we see as since the seventh canto has been preparing us for. And then here, in the tenth canto, we're seeing it apply. And we see the application is the same. Right? Just here, you're dealing with prema. Well, on the other platforms, we were dealing with other aspects of the rasa. Means we were dealing with devotees that had prema, but we're looking at more the forms they're using. But here we're dealing with those who, it's a manifestation of prema in its natural form. So there's a non-difference there. So we have to be able to tell what is of use and what's not, what the mentality that we view it. Yes? So, therefore the family situation that goes on here in the material world is the same form that is used in the spiritual world, because that's just how families work. The difference is the families in the spiritual world are about pleasing Krishna, while the families here are about pleasing ourselves. Then as we become devotees, we start to use it more and more to please Krishna. But that doesn't mean the form changes. So when you see as the person is really attached to the family, doing everything for the family, and then figures out it's all Maya and all that, and once you surrender to Krishna and give up family attachment, then they stop dealing with their family, deal roughly with their family, don't care about their family, and say it's all Maya, that's material understanding. I mean, if they want to surrender to Krishna, okay, nice, the renunciation, that they're engaging that religious principle in Krishna's service, that's nice, just like they're taking religion, engaging it, connecting it to Krishna. But the problem is it's not their religious principle. They're grihasthas, not renunciates. So they have to use the form of grihastha life with renunciation, rather than the form of renunciation with renunciation. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, because that's the whole point, is that these things can be used any way. You can use the spiritual for material, use the material for spiritual. It's one energy. It's Shrut Shakti. It's just, are we working with the manifestation of Shrut Shakti as internal or external? That's the difference. So when we make it centered on us, then it leans towards the external. When we make it centered on Krishna, then it moves towards the internal. The mechanical is the same. Right? I drive the car to the temple, I take it out for a joyride. The technique of pushing on the gas, pushing on the brake, moving the gears, turning the steering wheel is the same. It's not different. It may have slightly, some details may be different. Like I probably don't do donuts on somebody's front lawn if I'm going to the temple. Right? Unless, of course, someone called you up and said, the hall is running out, you better get over here quick. You know, then, you know. Yes? Yes. Or, what is it? Or the cheese pancakes are getting cold. Right? Yeah, so you have to hurry up. Yeah, cold cheese pancakes are good. Unless you eat them early in the morning on an empty stomach, then they're okay. But at night, they have to be hot. Yeah? They're good? Okay, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura writes, in two verses, the greatness of Putana's attainment through the mercy of the Lord is expressed. Right, so he's giving some guidance on what's happening here. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is always situated within the core of the heart of the pure devotee. And he is always offered prayers by such worshipable personalities as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Right? So he can say, no, but he's in the heart of every living entity. He's in the heart of every living entity as Paramatma. But for pure devotees, he's in their heart as Bhagavan. That's the difference. Right? Because then he's there, his associates, his pastimes, everything's there. But otherwise, he's just there as Paramatma. Not that he doesn't have all his associates, just that we don't see, so he doesn't reciprocate in that way. Because Paramatma is more as what you do is than what you get. Right? Yeah. Is it? Witty wig. Is that a WYSIWYG? WYSIWYG. What you do is, what you see is what you get. That WYSIWYG. What you do is what you get. Yeah? You don't know? Because it's a very old computer term that, because before it's what you saw on the screen of the computer and what you printed out were two different things. And then at one point they worked out that what you see is what you'll get. Like that. So that was a big innovation. Yeah. So here is with Paramatma, is what you do is what you'll get. But then when you see it with devotion, that pure devotion, then you may get beyond what you. You know, in other words, as Krishna karma, it's always great to have some variety, but the more they advance, then the greater it is. Yes, so it's always what will please Krishna, the person. While Paramatma, he's the Supreme Lord, I should follow the rules, that will be to the best benefit. And of course, it's to please the Lord because He's God. Yes. But it doesn't have the same effect as you're trying to please Him as a person. So it's like, He's God, these are the rules. If all the rules, that pleases God. But the point is why are those rules there? Because those are the rules God likes. So I'm following these rules because it pleases Him as a person, not because He's God. It's different. So that's what we're being brought up to understand. You know, as we come up through the cantos, is that there's a difference. So that's the whole idea, is that we don't change. The principle, if it's understood, that never changes from the beginning stage of Shraddha up to praying. But the detail may change according to our attachment to that. We don't have an attachment. We just said, recommended this, we do it. It'll be the same form all the way through. But if we have an attachment, those things we're engaging, then as we go, we might find that that attachment doesn't need to change because the form is all right. But the only reason I was doing it, not because it's the recommended form, is because it supported what I want to do. Like, I like to eat, it says take prasad, so there it is. See, I'm supposed to eat, you know. Aren't you supposed to be out of Sankirtan? It says, honor prasad. And this prasad was just sitting here, no one was honoring it. Hey. You know, so, like that. So, you're engaging it. But with time, then it comes about, you're engaging it because it pleases Krishna. There's a difference. Like that. Though, it's all connected to Krishna, as being pointed out by this pastime. Putana connected it. She didn't even see it as anything to do with devotional service. But because it had a connection to Krishna, there, you know, then it did. That's why anything you do indirect, if you see it connected to Krishna, it takes on that quality. But if you don't see it connected to Krishna, it does not take on that quality. It takes on Maya. But you see connected, yoga mode. But direct activities of devotional service, as given to us by the acharyas in the parampara, those, even if we don't see them connected to Krishna, they are, because it's coming through the parampara. That's why we say, as those who are not in parampara, then it doesn't have the spiritual effect. The karma is that the yoga studio are chanting Hare Krishna. It does not have a spiritual effect. It has the best pious effect you can absolutely get in the material world. Right? So, you know, they'll go to the heavenly planets, become kings, become this, become that. But they won't develop devotion. But because they're inclined to chant Hare Krishna at the studios, therefore, then inviting the devotees to come and chant, they're willing to do. It's like the Hindus. The Hindus do the same stuff we do. It's not in parampara. They're only getting pious benefit from it. But because of it, they're willing to invite devotees to their house for a program, to do kirtan, discuss philosophy, you know, distribute prasad. But now it's connected to parampara. Now they get the spiritual benefit. So that's what it's meant, is karma and beyond don't function without bhakti. These are activities of bhakti. But without bhakti, we just call them karma and beyond. But they can't function without that. How will jnana function without understanding of the soul, not the body, how the material universe works, all these different things? It won't function. You must be getting heavy.
We'll
just keep going. You have to talk loudly, otherwise even I can't hear. So, when you open your mouth, it works better than when you just close it. Just put your phone in your mouth. Krishna.
Yeah.
See, it comes from down here. Tighten your stomach muscle and then talk, and then you can get so much volume. Because you're talking just from up here, basically from here. You know, from the voice box up. You have to start from the down at the navel. Then if you talk from there, then the whole hall will be able to hear you. In fact, so you're going to get knocked over. Right? Which adhikari?
Uttam
adhikari, okay.
We have Bhagavan residing in the heart.
We have Bhagavan residing in the heart, yes. Madhyam adhikari is because generally they're considered pure devotees, because otherwise you don't become a Madhyam. So then it'll be Bhagavan. So it depends upon if they're thinking in other ways, then you'll say. But the point is, the neophyte, basically you're talking about Paramatma. But you do have pure devotee neophyte that they have that full faith in the process and do it, though they can't explain it or don't know any detail. They just know this is what Guru and Vaishnav said, I'm doing it. Right? So you would see that, especially the time of Prabhupada. Neophyte pure devotees is that preaching is good, so they get their backpack, you know, put a few things in their backpack, you know, like some halva, and head off to a place. They were, like, say, these devotees there in New York, right? I can't remember who it was. Rishi Kumar, maybe, or something. They're in New York, unless they were in San Francisco. And he had probably visited San Jose at some point in his travels, because hippies travel. What are the things that they do? And so then he had been there, and there was probably some interesting scene, because being more south, it's more warm, so it's much more comfortable to walk around with no clothes on, right? Well, up north you got to wear clothes, so it's not as favorable to hippies, right? You kind of, you know, from the middle of America, you know, that you kind of get hippies, you know, kind of go across. It's too far north or things like that. Gets too far south and walk around with no clothes, some guy with a shotgun's going to come out, so that's not very favorable either. Right? So, they found San Jose was good, so they just thought, hey, I could open a center in San Jose. So 3 months after being a devotee, they just pack up, no money, no contacts, no nothing, go down to San Jose, find where the hippies are, talk at this and that, do some kirtan. Then, because hippies, you know, okay, they invite you, this and that, they all stay together anyway, so he comes and stays with them, then starts preaching and all that, then slowly, from book distribution, gets a little money, then hires a place, and then starts doing things at the temple. And that's how all the temples were open. Not that, okay, we set up, get this big thing, get the money, build this, no, they just go out with nothing and just start something. You know what I'm saying? That's how it spread. Nowadays things don't spread because everybody wants to go with everything. You know, I want to open a new temple. I take half of this temple with me. No, they just went themselves and just started it. In fact, why should I go and open a new temple? I'm staying here. You go. Yeah. You understand? So therefore the neophyte pure devotee can do amazing stuff. The difficulty is will they maintain that faith? They do, then they'll naturally go through the Madhyama to the Uttama very smoothly. But if due to their lack of knowing philosophy, they come in contact with others who misrepresent the philosophy, then they can get distracted and then they can be not as well situated. So generally, from Nishta or the Madhyama platform, that's where we say that's where pure devotees start. You could say of pure devotees, they're the neophyte pure devotees. The Uttamas and Bhava are the Madhyama pure devotees. And the Uttamas and Prema, they're the Uttam pure devotees. Right? But the neophytes can be in that state. But basically, Madhyamas have to be in that state. But as situated, it's 75%. Does that make sense? So that means 25% is not as mudyam as we'd like, you know, not as pure as we'd like it to be. So when it's 75%, we say that's pure devotee, because it's the majority, beyond majority. Rupa Goswami says it'll start at 60, but they'll be actually steady, visible at 75. So in other words, within Nishka, you break it into three parts. The middle part will be 75. And when you just start it, that'll be 60. Does that make sense? Don't think you got to see can't. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is always situated within the core of the heart of the pure devotee. And he has always offered prayers by such worshipable personalities as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Because Krishna embraced Putana's body with great pleasure and sucked her breast, although she was a great witch, she attained the position of a mother in the transcendental world and thus achieved the highest perfection. What then is to be said of the cows whose nipples Krishna sucked with great pleasure and who offered their milk very exuberantly with affection exactly like that of a mother? Srila Prabhupada comments. These verses explain how devotional service rendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whether directly or indirectly, knowingly or unknowingly, becomes successful. Right? That's the whole point of here, is that just like you're chanting the holy name, it's a direct activity. You're in contact with Krishna, though indirect, you're thinking of something else. But you're still in contact. Right? Putana was neither a devotee nor a non-devotee. She was actually a demoniac witch instructed by Kamsa to kill Krishna. Nonetheless, in the beginning, right, because a devotee or non-devotee, a devotee means Krishna. Non-devotee means they're not interested. She was just a demon. Nonetheless, in the beginning, she assumed the form of a very beautiful woman and approached Krishna exactly like an affectionate mother, so that Mother Jashoda and Rohini would not doubt her sincerity. Right? So she did. She did the approach, feeling, she did all the activities of a sincere mother. The Lord took all this into consideration. And thus she was automatically promoted to a position like that of Mother Jashoda, as explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. There are various roles one may play in such a position. Putana was immediately promoted to Vaikuntha, which is also sometimes described as Swarga. The Swarga mentioned in this verse is not the material heavenly planet, but the transcendental world. In Vaikuntha, Putana attained the position of nurse, Dattariyuchitam, as described by Uddhava. Putana was elevated to the position of a nurse and maidservant in Gokula Vrindavan to assist Mother Jashoda. Does that make sense? So here then, she's elevated to this transcendental position, and then from there, then she'll naturally then serve in this way. Okay? So, because she was coming in as an assistant, as a nurse to Mother Jashoda, so naturally then her position would be that of a nurse. Right? So it'll be an assistant to, in parental Ras, but as an assistant to a servant of. Right? But as a nurse, not like Danishta, who's a servant. Right? This is because she's more involved with the conjugal Ras. Right? But here she'll be involved with serving the parental Ras. So here also Vaikuntha can also mean that means where the Lord is performing his pastime. Right? Because that would be here. Then that, because we say it's the transcendental realm. Right? We don't say it's Goloka Vrindavan. Right? Gokul is Vaikuntha. And so then from there, then she gets trained, then she goes to Goloka. Yes? Yes? It's the spiritual world. So you're making a distinction that you go to the one, then you go to the other. In Vaikuntha, you just go to Vaikuntha and that's where you stay. right? Mm-hmm. But here you're going to that transcendental platform, and then from there going to Goloka. So we understand, because here he's saying, Vaikuntha can also be sometimes called Swarga, right? Because it mentions, if you remember the Lord and that, then one goes to that place of his deathless, this, that. So it'll be, you know, used as Swarga, but it actually means the spiritual world. Right? So some of these names, they have multiple applications, because the activity is the same, but the interpretation of what it's for is different. I perform the activity, by that I'll go to Swarga, right? Or Brahma Loka, another word that's used. So they may think the place of Brahma, right? Then the impersonalist Brahma Loka means Brahman. To the devotees, Brahma Loka means Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of how it's being used. So here, Vaikuntha, Goloka is also Vaikuntha. But then within it, then there's the mood of Vaikuntha and then the mood of Goloka. And then within Goloka, you have Lower Goloka and you have Braj, or what's called Goloka and Gokul. So in that case, then Gokul means Braj. And Goloka means Mathura, you know, and Dwarka. Is that what it says? You know, Puri, like this. So it has a different flavor. It has the mix of majesty. In other words, the Goloka means the predominance of sweetness. Vaikuntha means the predominance of majesty. But within Goloka, there are parts that have a mix of majesty. Right? Mathura being the least mixed, but it's still mixed. You know, does that make sense? And then it goes out from there. Yeah. Because in all those, he's Krishna. But in Vaikuntha, he's Vishnu. Right? So in this way, then if we're saying Vaikuntha, that could mean Gokul Vrindavan in the material world. Because when we're talking about in the material universe, when we say Gokul, we mean the pastimes here. When we're talking about Goloka, we say Gokul, we mean Braj. Right? So that's why it becomes confusing, because we have a tendency, we like how a word's used, and we only want to use it in that way. But it has all, depending on the context, it changes how it's used. Does that make sense? Because you're bringing out a different aspect of it. Yes? This is Vaikuntha.
Kunta. Kunta means miserable.
Kunta, the material world.
Yes. Yes.
Kunta means miserable.
Vaikuntha means without misery.
Vaikuntha without misery.
Therefore, it means something two things, either the material world or the spiritual world.
Yes.
But then as you give the details, it goes, whether it is the picking of the Vaikuntha planets, or the picking of Gokul, or the picking of Goloka. That is Vaikuntha.
So it's all Vaikuntha because it's all free from Kunta.
Yes.
Okay, so Gokul, Vaikuntha, and Goloka, but it's all considered Vaikuntha from that aspect. Okay. What is it? Yep.
So Maharaj, when, like, Sukarnath has been to, you can say, Gokul back in time.
Right.
Is it that it's possible to go back to the material world?
Generally, one would, you could. Oh, yeah, first person would die. Generally, you wouldn't, but you could. But technically, you wouldn't. Why would you? You've already tasted the material world, so then you're giving that up.
Yes.
So, but you can stay in Gokul, Vrindavan, for hundreds of lifetimes if you don't actually fully surrender. Now, if you don't come to that point of Apana Das, you know, or Smarana Das in its fullest, then you can remain there. So if you only are on the Shravana and Varna Dasa, you could remain there for a long time. Right? Haridas Thakur says hundreds of births. Right? If you think I'm advanced, and I'm the guru of devotees, then you'll remain there for hundreds of births. But technically, if you have the right attitude, in one pastime, you can then, you're qualified, you come to prema, then you'll go to Goloka. Does that make sense? So generally I haven't heard that from there they'll come here. If you're in the body here, and through meditation you're on the platform of bhava, then there is the possibility you could get distracted and remain here.
Yeah.
Right? Like Jarabharat. So he thought of the deer at the time of death, not Krishna. So he stayed here. But because he was such an advanced devotee, he was on the platform of Bhava Bhakti. Therefore, that consciousness remained, though as a deer. Right? But once you attain that spiritual form and all that, as Swarup Siddhi, generally I haven't heard that someone comes back here from that state. Because you've already been here, you won't do it again. Does that make sense? But you can get stuck there and not move forward to prema, to Vastu Siddhi. You know what I'm saying? So that's the difference. That's why Swarup Siddhi, everyone makes this big thing about Swarup Siddhi. Swarup Siddhi is not the big deal. Vastu Siddhi, that's the big deal. Swarup Siddhi is a very excellent opportunity. But that's not, you haven't made it by that. The Sahajiyas, they try to make it that that's where it's at. But it's not. Vastu Siddhi means you come to prema. Now that is your natural position. You're functioning in that position because of that natural love for Krishna. Right? While for the does that make sense? Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the bestower of many benedictions, including liberation, Kaivalya, or oneness with the Brahman effulgent. For that Personality of Godhead, the gopis always felt maternal love, and Krishna sucked their breasts with full satisfaction. Therefore, because of their relationship as mother and son, although the gopis were engaged in various family activities, one should never think that they return to this material world after leaving their bodies. Right? So then they just came to that platform of Vastu Siddhi. Right? So when that, in other words, that pastime's finished, then they just went to the spiritual world. Footnote 6. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura assigns verses 39 to 40 to Bhagavad Arkamrita Mala, chapter 6, entitled Tasting the Sublime Nature of Relationship with the Lord, Bhagavat Rasa Tattvam, which is in the Sambandha section of the Thakura's book. Right? So, they're always connected with Krishna. So even though they're performing all their household duties, they're still on the transcendental platform. That's what's being offered here. Mother Yashoda and the other elder gopis, they all have families. Right? They're always engaged, but they're always thinking and doing everything to please Krishna. So they're always transcendentally situated. At the end of that pastime, or that lifetime, then they go to the spiritual world. Same with us. We can do this, that we're doing the same thing. The duties are the same. Right? So whatever is the position, Bhagavat Rasa Tattva, whatever the position, that rasa that you're using as a medium, it's being used to please Krishna. Doesn't mean we're in a relationship with Krishna in that rasa. It means we're performing the functions of that rasa. Right? So we have family members, friends, whatever it is. Then we're performing those relations. But we're maintaining that affection for Krishna. So then there's no problem. Right? That make sense? There's no problem. Everything will work. Right? The relationship with Krishna is maintained. So one's on the transcendental platform. One doesn't lose the relationship with Krishna because of functioning in relationships in the material world. Right? There, the advantage is it's all done connected to Krishna. But one may say, so why do we need to mention this? Our situation is different. But the point is it? Right? We're in families in Braj, in Vrindavan, and we have gotten attracted by those family relationships. We have looked at the material benefit to get from those relationships and therefore ended up here. So how is it different? You understand? The difference is they see it always in relationship to Krishna. So for them, the secondary aspects of the spiritual pastimes are only to use for Krishna. Or we saw those secondary aspects to use for ourselves. So that's not going to work there. You'll stay there, and then when the pastime moves on, one will come into the material world. Okay. Right? So because it's happened there, where there's no time, it's eternal, therefore it's called anadi. Because it happened before time. You can't by time figure it out. Because it happened before time. You could say, okay, when's the first time you became Lord Brahma? Oh, that was X amount of universes, you know, creations before. But you can't say when you became material consciousness. Because that happened in the spiritual platform, where there's no time. Does that make sense? Does that understand why this isn't a topic for general discussion? Because now it's quite comfortable. Tenth canto, okay, it makes some sense. It's just part of the scene. There's no, but what about, no, but then this, so, you know, all those issues. Okay. So that's the whole point, is that that's why these pastimes is being pointed out. Otherwise, why would it be pointed out? Because then these things go, why can't we just get into the pastime? Because we have to show is they're doing this and they're on prema. We're trying to come to this again to this platform. But in coming to this platform, we don't act in prema. We won't move forward to prema. We'll get stuck. So therefore, you have to move on. How do you move on? By making it about Krishna, by taking the association of the Vaishnavas as the most important thing. Right? Does that make sense? So, because if we do that, then we always associate with those who are more advanced. So, in this position, then, Putana, as being a nurse, right, in the Gokul pastime, who's senior to her? Mother Yashoda and the other eternal, the Nitya Siddha Gopis. Right? So, she will associate with them. Doesn't mean she's not associating with other living entities who have come to Gokul to be trained as parents for Krishna. Right? But they're, you know, kind of like your equals. But you have to have those who are senior to you, that you respect because of their advancement or because of their position of advancement. So it's the same principle here. You understand? We're not being asked to do anything different. Okay? You know, what a benediction that we can just go on. They have you know, families and all that there. We can do the same thing here. Does that make sense? So that's what we're being offered. So we have to be very careful not to kick it away, mistaken that, oh no, my material position is so much better to serve Krishna. No, we engage it. But unless it's about Krishna as a person, then this is going to come really slow. But if it's about pleasing Krishna as a person, then it goes very quickly. Then in one lifetime, you can wrap it up. That's the idea. So that's why we have to be very, very careful. Okay, we're in a position. We're in a family. Okay, what is our position in the family? You know, we're the husband, wife, father, mother, we're the child, we're the brother, the sister, the older or younger sibling. You know, how does that relate to all the, you know, how you say, brother-in-laws and sister-in-laws and cousins and nephews and, you know, on and on and on and on. You know, all 150 of them. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So, That's our position. What are the duties for that position? Do those duties. But why are we doing it? The same reason that they're doing family life in the spiritual world. Just to remember Krishna as a position to serve Krishna from. There it has more direct application. Here it's more indirect. But the point is, by connecting it to Krishna, it gives a direct effect. On the spiritual world, then it has that. Because they're at their own homes. Mother Jashoda at night, all the elder gopis go to their own homes with their own kids and their own families. But they just remember Krishna. We can say, oh, but you know, it's not the same as Mother Jashoda. What about all those other gopis? Because we're never going to become Mother Jashoda. If that's on your bucket list, take it off the list. It's not going to happen. Right? So, therefore, it's going to be that same situation. You are going to be in your house with your family and being Krishna conscious. You can do that here. It's the same thing. Does that make sense? Like that. One can say, oh, well, no, but it's material world, it's Kali Yuga, it's this, it's that, and I'm from here, that. You can go on and on making excuses, but you're being given the opportunity. But we should take it instead of making excuses, right? All the time making excuses. We have to give up these excuses. Right? Because along with excuses, generally the ability to find fault is also part of the package. Right? And we know fault finding is not one of the recommended devotional processes. In fact, it's considered the worst of the anarchists. Right? Forgiveness is considered the main Vaishnava quality. Forgiveness, friendship, you know, mercy, that. And fault finding is considered the worst. So they're kind of at the two opposite ends. Right? At that end, then we have, how you say? At one end, then you have, how do you say, Beezle Bum? Right? You know Beezle Bum? No one knows Beezle Bum? Huh? No, Beezle Bum is one of the names for Satan.
Beelzebub. Okay,
so that's at one end. And at the other end, then you have all the associates in the spiritual world. So you just decide which one you want. Criticism of the Vaishnavas or, you know, that friendship and respect of the Vaishnavas. Does that make sense? That's the opportunities that will be. It's one path. So if you're one end and you choose the other, you can go to the other end. Just choose wisely. Like that.
Yeah, good, right? The fourth penny is like the fly, the little bit too, right? And
yeah.
And the other one is the lord of the fly.
Yeah, like that. Yes. Okay. How are we doing? Okay. Doing pretty good. Okay, so then that Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives this position of showing how we can maintain our relationship with the Lord despite all whatever is our material situation, our social environment. Srila Prabhupada comments, the advantage of Krishna consciousness is described herein. Krishna consciousness gradually develops on the transcendental platform. One may think of Krishna as the Supreme Personality. One may think of Krishna as the Supreme Master. One may think of Krishna as the Supreme Friend. One may think of Krishna as the Supreme Son. One may think of Krishna as the Supreme Conjugal Lover. If one is connected with Krishna in any of these transcendental relationships, the course of one's material life is understood to have already ended. It's just a matter of how much time. You follow nicely and this one lifetime has ended. Otherwise it may take some lifetimes, but the point is it's technically, you know, officially over. It's just now just waiting for, you know, the processing to, you know, you've handed in your papers, now you just have to wait for the processing to go on. You know, so if you left the Mahaprasad, you know, you were nice, smiled, then it goes a little quicker, right? So. Also interesting thing you hear is Ashantaras, Krishna is the supreme master. As the supreme personality. He's of all personalities, he's the greatest personality, therefore the appreciation is the greatest for him over all other personalities. So we see it's personal, so they're not impersonalists. But it has the aspect of jnana to it because it's knowledge. Right? So it has that jnana mayi aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Right? As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.9, Chakva Deham Punar Janma Naitimam Eti. For such devotees, going back home, back to Godhead, is guaranteed. Na Punaf Kalpate Rajan Samsaro Jnana Sambhavaha. This verse also guarantees that devotees who constantly think of Krishna in a particular relationship will never return to this material world. Right, so in any case, we can always think of him as the greatest personality because he's the source of all. Supreme personality of Godhead means he is the topmost personality from which all other, then Vishnu type of personality, Shakti type of personalities, and then, you know, whatever other personalities that we're having to hang out with. Does that make sense? Okay. Right, so one doesn't have to worry about, well, what's my relationship with the spiritual world, because all of them, they think he's the best personality. Because maybe he means, the generic is, he's the supreme person, right? So then he's the supreme person as master, supreme person as friend, supreme person as son, supreme person as lover. So that supreme person is the constant for everybody in the spiritual world. So therefore, on spiritual consciousness, one can see like that, and one doesn't have to worry, well, until I know my relationship, how, you know, don't get into that. In this material world of samsara, there are the same relationships. One thinks, here is my son, here is my wife, here is my lover, or here is my friend. But these relationships are temporary illusions. Ajnana sambhava, such a consciousness awakens in ignorance. But when the same relationships awaken in Krishna consciousness, one's spiritual life is revived, and one is guaranteed to return home back to Godhead. Even though the gopis were friends of Rohini and Mother Yashoda, and who allowed their breasts to be sucked by Krishna, were not directly Krishna's mothers. They had the same chance as Rohini and Yashoda to go back to Godhead and act as Krishna's mothers-in-law, servants, and so on. The word samsara refers to attachment for one's body, home, husband, or wife, and children. But although the gopis and all the other inhabitants of Vrindavan had the same affection and attachment for husband and home, their central affection was for Krishna in some transcendental relationship. And therefore, they were guaranteed to be promoted to Goloka Vrindavan in their next life. Right? So in other words, we're thinking of Krishna in this life, just at the moment of death. Right? That's all it takes. That will get us into Gokul. Then, living in the Vraj pastime, then families and the whole social thing, if in that Krishna is the central relationship, and that's the constant factor, in other words, the samadhi, that is always about Krishna, there isn't anything else that's distracted. Then at the end of that life, one will go to Goloka. You understand? But the point is Gokul already is this transcendental world with the transcendental body and transcendental pastime. So you already are in the spiritual world. It's just that you're in the Vaikuntha aspect instead of the Goloka aspect. You understand? Right, but then you know, no, I want to go to, yes, that's how you get there, your system. You're already there, so don't worry. It's good, we're doing great. Others got to go up through the whole planetary system and become Indra and Brahma and this one and that one until finally they make it up till then when Brahma dies, then they go. So we have it cool. We just immediately, in this lifetime, then we're in Gokul, whatever he's performing his pastime, with the spiritual form. Then, you go to Goloka when you have faith. Right? Mm-hmm.
Maharaj, when you say sinful affection, means there is affection for Krishna as a...
Because the natural affection of the living entity is friendship with all other living entities. Means the jivas in the spiritual world, the living entity, they all have friendship with all other living entities. Right? So that's the natural thing. You don't have technically the thing of that, say, you know, the junior, the mercy, the thing. It's just different aspects of friendship. Senior friendship, junior friendship, equal friendship, or confidential friendship. So it's all that's the natural. When it comes to the material world, then it takes on that thing of respect, friendship, and mercy, and avoiding those who are inimical to Krishna. It takes on those forms.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's nothing. So there's nothing to need another manifestation. So that is the manifestation in the spiritual world. Does that make sense? So that's why being able to be, you know, it says being friendly with the devotees. That's what it goes on in the spiritual world. Why do I have to be friendly with devotees? You know, said, well, that's what they do in the spiritual world. You know? Yeah. You understand?
But affection for Krishna implies affection for the devotees as well.
Yes, it's there, but it's still their different personalities. So you're seeing the devotees in connection with their love for Krishna. So therefore, because everybody loves Krishna, then everything that is being done is being done to please Krishna, so why wouldn't you like that person? Right? Yeah. So that's that. You know, yeah. So that's why then you have the thing here, love me, love my dogs. So you love that, if you say I have love for Krishna, then you have to like the devotees. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the thing. You know, and then there'll be more like, let's say, for those who you find advanced and, you know, more kind of, how you say? Acquaintance, you know, with some others, with the other ones. Right? But dealing properly and nicely, that's how one should always deal. There's never a time when you have the right to behave badly. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, you know, they're a nonsense, I can behave badly with them. No, it's according to the situation.
Following the
Vaishnava
etiquette is the basis.
Following the Vaishnava etiquette is the basis, yes. It means that's always there, that's why it's there, because that's what you do in the spiritual world. If you don't follow the Vaishnava etiquette, then it's offensive, and then that causes problems for one's spiritual life. Does that make sense? Sukadev Goswami continued, upon smelling the fragrance of the smoke emanating from Putana's burning body. Is there all in one varga? Pa and ba? Pa pa ba ba? Ma? So the Putana's burning body. They're all the same. You know, because in English you'll only say, oh, it's just the B's and P's, but in the Vedic it would be the varga. You know, the whole group of letters. Yeah, and you see, after many, Putana's burning body, many. Inhabitants of Brajabuni in distant places were astonished. Where is this fragrance coming from? They asked. Thus they went to the spot where Putana's body was being burnt. When the inhabitants of Braja, who had come from distant places, heard the whole story of how Putana had come and then been killed by Krishna, they were certainly astonished. And they offer their blessings to the child for his wonderful deed of killing Putana. Nanda Maharaj, of course, was very much obliged to Vasudeva, who had foreseen the incident, and simply thanked him, thinking how wonderful Vasudeva was. O Maharaj Parikit, best of the Kurus, Nanda Maharaj was very liberal and simple. He immediately took his son Krishna on his lap, as if Krishna had returned from death. And by formally smelling his son's head, Nanda Maharaj undoubtedly enjoyed transcendental bliss. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Returning from his visit, Nanda Maharaj began to lament. In my absence, so much misfortune has occurred. Why did I go to Mathura? The term Udada Ji indicates that he began to criticize everyone's intelligence. How could the dull doorkeepers not prevent anyone from entering the house? Right, because he had left everyone in charge to protect and all that. He says, how did they allow this to happen? Right, so he doesn't know it's because of, you know, Krishna's yoga maya arrangement. And so therefore she could use her own maya and get through. Srila Prabhupada adds, Nanda Maharaj could not understand how the inhabitants of his house had allowed Putana to enter the house, nor could he imagine the gravity of the situation. He did not understand that Krishna had wanted to kill Putana and that his pastimes were performed by Yoga Maya. Nanda Maharaj simply thought that someone had entered his house and created havoc. This was Nanda Maharaj's simplicity. So that's why you say it's liberal but simple. Right, while Vasudeva, and that they're liberal, but they'll be more sophisticated. And so that's the thing. Brudge the past, they're just so simple. Because it's just, the affection is just so strong. They don't require, you know, that sophistication, you know, by complicated arrangements. Right? It doesn't mean that the sophistication of what is, well, the arrangements for the senses of Krishna is not very refined, like the ornaments and the food and the house he stays in and the gardens and his clothes, all these things, the music in the evening. They'll be the best musicians. They'll be the, you know, you don't get better cooks than Mother Jashoda, Rohini, Radharani, like this. So it's the best, like that. But as far as the complicated arrangements, it's very simple. Of in Braj, the gopis will have the most complicated, the young gopis, because of the Parakya Ras. So since that's not supposed to be happening, therefore you have to be able to run a whole parallel pastime. So that will be then, how you say, have that sophistication to it. Right? I just saw the bottom of the tree, but the way it was sitting, I just glanced, I thought it was a big, like, some kind of animal, but it's just the bottom of the tree. Does that make sense? So you see a little bit more sophistication there, but it's still simple. Because the interaction, the relationship, that's simple. It's just the arrangements will be a little bit more. But the dealings will still have that simplicity, because it's just about the pure love. Right? Does that make sense?
And now I think it matches the Vaishya mentality.
Matches the Vaishya mentality. Because then it has that thing where they follow all the Vedic things, but they're not caught up, you know, by the Maryada aspect that I follow all the rules and all that, that the Kshatriyas will have, or that simpleness of the Brahmins, you know, and just in the material facility. So this way they can have full opulence at the same time as not have, the formal structure like that. Because you notice that whenever Nanda Maharaj and the Gopas go to Mathura, there's never any verse describing that they were enamored or amazed by how opulent it was. There is no verse. Because they had as much of more opulence. So it's just natural. They only have a little bit, while maybe there may be a, you know, the palaces are maybe bigger and stuff like that or stuff, but the quality is the same. They've got things in Braj that they don't even have there. And like we mentioned, in the walls in the courtyard in Nanda Maharaj's place, then they have, you know, solid emerald parrots. You know, that are carved from one emerald to such detail that they look exactly like a parrot, so much so that real parrots come and sit down next to them and start talking to them. So what fun that is, right? Does that make sense? Or like in, I think in Radhakund, then they have the real lotuses and lilies, but they also have ones made out of jewels. So that combination, these kinds of things are very amazing. You know, but there it's just something nice for Krishna. It's just something for Krishna to see and laugh at. That's all the point. You know, oh, what opulence, you have these things. I don't have these in my palace. You know, maybe you could send your, you know, how you say, your craftsmen to our place and make some. And like that. No, it's just there because it's fun for Krishna. That's the difference. So you never see that they were amazed by anything. But you know, you see in other verses when it talks about Krishna, it talks about how opulent it is. But it's not that Krishna was amazed, but it's just talking about the actual opulence. But when the Brajvasis go there, never talk about opulence. That's there because he's wearing that because he's wearing it. They're not amazed by others because, you know, they're not amazed by these others. You know, it's not that they feel bad that they're not dressed well and that only the queens are dressed well. Okay. That was other thing. This is a different kind of. One's formal and the other doesn't have that restraint. Right? Okay, so end here.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Srila Prabhupada ki Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.